everyone. You love the music, now be a part of the movement. Press Play is building a home for artists and fans just like you, and now you can help shape it. All you gotta do is go to pressplay.me and grab you some merch and wear it really loud and really proud, and of course, buy it for everybody you know. And know that you're helping musicians and music stay real, independent, and alive. And here's something really special. You can send a personal message to the artist of your choice. If we've done an interview with them, you have an opportunity to write them a note. You can write them a small message, or you can write them a whole letter, and it will go directly to them. Just click the link on any of our interviews, write from the heart, and let your voice be heard. So tune in, rock with us, and press play. Get the gear, send the love. Music lives when the fans do.
Hey everybody, welcome to Press Play Radio Conversations, the inaugural of the new name. And it's inaugural because Bill is special. We got Bill Leverty here with Dean of SiriusXM fame and Tina, our CEO. But Bill is special to me because the very first interview I ever did in my life, ever, was with Bill. And he was so gracious to me. I was nervous as anything. But anytime we've started a new launch of something, Bill's always been first. So now we're again, Bill, having you back. And we got good things to talk to you about. We were saying offline here about, you know, you and your music and Tina, who's never talked to you yet. I was going to let Tina start the floor. I've got things to talk about, but I'll let Tina start. So you got Firehouse Bill Leverty here. What do you want to talk about, Tina?
Well, there's so much I want to talk to. Well, I mean, I have talked to Bill before, just never on the show. So,
right.
But it's
music, about the music, right?
Yes. What we were saying is, I'm a big Firehouse fan. Firehouse was playing at my wedding. It was my first dance, love of lifetime. So thank you, Bill, very much for that. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
That's what we were saying offline. But I don't have questions yet. So
that was gonna prompt me. It's that time of year, Bill, coming into Valentine's Day. Do you see a bump around this time because of your ballads?
I haven't really paid attention to it. I will now look because I hadn't thought of it, but it might be. I'm sure. I mean,
on social media, you just say Firehouse and naturally, boom, all of a sudden you see all the comments about, you know, love of a lifetime and everybody reminisces about prom or weddings and stuff like that. So obviously you are associated with like a major ballad. It just it hit me. It's like, we're coming to Valentine's Day. I wonder if there's like a nice little bump in the streaming.
It would be great to partner with myflowers.com and Whitman's Chocolate. Yeah.
For some edible like arrangements.
That. What is it called?
Edible arrangements.
Yeah. They're it.
I love those things. I eat all the pineapples when they come in.
So the brainstorming session here.
You know what? I was going into the wrong place. I was thinking, isn't there like a edible undies type thing? All right. That's
where I am. You should partner with them, Bill.
Stepping there you it go. Up.
All she wrote on it. Yeah.
That's what I was just going to say. You know, it could be that, or it could be like, bye, bye, baby.
There you go. So, yeah.
You got a twofer here for Valentine's Day.
But it is wild when you think about it. Like when you think of first dance songs at weddings, you know, At Last by Etta James is always a big one. But I'm sure Love of a Lifetime has been in tens of thousands of weddings. Has to have been.
For sure.
Well, and that segue. So last week I was listening to Don Dokken's, his first solo album. And he has a couple slow songs on there. And I was just listening to him. It's like, you know, what a great voice for ballads. But then it quickly went to, but not just him. There's an entire category of rock singers that when you talk about ballads, it's like, and if you read through the social media posts, you read through the responses, because I ask, if you were going to pick a singer for a rock ballad, who would you pick? Steve Perry gets called out a lot, which sure, but that's not really where I was going. I was trying to recognize the guys like, you know, Don Dokken and CJ and, you know, Joe Elliott and the rockers. And it just feels like we don't really recognize the diversity of those vocalists and what they brought to a ballad.
I chose Brian Howe, I believe.
Oh, yeah. What a great singer, you know.
But, you know, I mean, you know where I'm going with them. And you
see, yeah, I mean, I really felt like CJ had so much emotion in his tone, and he could hold a note and he could control it and make it so that it wouldn't flutter and it wouldn't go flat and it wouldn't go sharp. He would just, he could hold it. And he had such a pleasant tone that it just, and that, to me, that's what makes it harder for somebody to sing a ballad than to sing something fast with a melody that's got more chop to it and more bouncing around. To hold those notes out like that and keep it all smooth, that's something CJ had a real, real knack for, and it's rare.
I also think it brings a level of vulnerability into it, because you've got this vocalist that we commonly associate with, you know, just good, gritty rock songs, and all of a sudden they bring in, you know, that vocal into a ballad. It shows a greater, you know, vulnerability. Another name that got called out quite a bit that I was happy for was David Coverdale, who I think is another great example.
Yeah. Yeah. Another monster.
Is this thing. Love? When you hear "Is This Love?" Oh my God.
Yeah. So much emotion in that vocal delivery that he mm-hmm. had.
And it really makes you realize, oh my gosh, this person can like really sing. It's not just, you know, singing. It's really singing. It's
so that, a lot of control in the ballad. You have to have a lot of control in a ballad too. That's the key.
So there's that style of hard rock that we associate with the 80s. I just feel like we look past really ballad. Everything that's special. We characterize it. Is that the right word? Characterize? We make a meme out of it, but we don't ever stop to go, you know what? Actually, these are really diverse, incredible, talented musicians that cover a wide spectrum. And then we look
and
at the
powerful.
Vocal. Oh, yeah.
It's hard as a singer to do, check all those boxes. But, you know, having the powerful voice is certainly a requirement, but it also really helps if you can have the dynamics of being able to sing soft and control it and just have that delivery where it goes from the ear to the heart. You know, that's tough to do.
Do you have, last time we talked last month, you've got some new music on the way, right? Aren't you working on some new stuff?
What I'm working on now is more Firehouse music. We put out a single not too long ago called Mighty Fine Lady, and we're almost done with another song. So we can't wait to get this one out. So that's what's taking my time. But I put out songs every now and then. I forget the last one I put. It's on my website, and yeah, it's fun to do it. But right now, I'm real excited about the new Firehouse stuff.
That's awesome.
You know, so there were things that I set aside because I thought they'd be interesting topics. One of them I just mentioned earlier to you that you didn't mind me talking about, but I'm going to save that one. There's some solos you did through the years and plus on your solo. And there's a solo song I wanted to talk to you about. There's two solo songs you did that the more I listen to them, the more they've become favorites of mine in a rotation. One, but from the song Don't Walk Away, I love this, your solo in this song. And was it in the movie The Wrestler too?
Yes. And thanks for liking that song and that solo. And yeah, it was a surprise to us. We found out it was in The Wrestler when somebody saw the movie and then they contacted us. So I didn't know about it until it was already in there. I kind of borrowed a little bit from a lot of my favorite guitar players to build that solo, and the first little lick is kind of a Jeff Beck borrowing of this it's a little arpeggio that's kind of E minor. I'm tuned down a little bit right now, but it's kind of
people. I love this.
Sorry, I'm really slopping out because I'm in a bad position here, but it'd be something like. So that's the opening lick. So it's kind of like that. I didn't play it that well there, but yeah. But that came from Jeff Beck and listening to him and rest in peace, Jeff, one of my favorite guitar players.
Oh my God. But I have a clip of it. I wanted to play a little bit of it here.
Okay. Thanks, man.
From Tokyo.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. That was exciting. Our first time playing Japan.
I had to let it play all the way through after the, but that solo is so gorgeous in there. It's such a sexy song.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
A ton of great melodic solos. And and just real quick, talking about the albums, O2, I think you and I talked about that a while ago. Love that album. But what's the other song? I Live My Life For You. Great solo.
Oh, thanks.
Do you think that was obviously there's a resurgence of guitar solos coming back into rock songs. You see a lot of young bands bringing it back. Do you feel like though that we've gotten overly too technical now?
Maybe people pro tool the crap out of their music, and all the drums are right on the grid. You lose the human feel.
Yeah, it feels like
a lot of auto-tune.
Yeah, I'm happy to see it coming back, but I feel like there's a soul that still has to be found. There's a lot of like mind-blowingly talented guitarists. Just sometimes I feel like it's a little bit over the top, too technical.
Well, I don't know. I think everybody is an artist. You got to just kind of chase your dream, you know, and if it's to be a technician, then that's great. And so it's whatever you're going for, I guess. But I do like to see a band live that plays everything live instead of having backing tracks and stuff like that, kind of making it a little more mechanical. Yeah. So it's kind of a personal preference, I guess. But whatever an artist wants to do, that's fine for them. But it's not my thing.
Yeah, it's it.
So that brings me up to AI. How are you feeling about AI music taking over?
Well, I don't know if it'll take over, but it's certainly interesting. People have sent me songs that they've co-written or had AI write for them or whatever, and it's just amazing. It just wow, listen to the production on that. That's like as good as the best producers and the best mixers and just unbelievably perfect singing and stuff. But I don't know, I kind of like hearing some of the flaws that we had in the records we listened to. You know, I guess if John Lennon were to wait for the perfect take, we would have never gotten some of that really great gravelly cracking stuff that he put out. So I don't know. I'm interested to see where it goes, but I'm not a big fan of it.
It's a tool.
No.
But every time I get in on classic vinyl or classic rewind, there's a moment during the show where I just get hit by, there's something in the music. You know, all the music doesn't sound the same. It's not overly homogenized. And it's the imperfections that make it special. And it happens every single time I'm on air and I'm listening to the playlist. It's like, this really was a special time because it wasn't perfect.
So what I was going to say is I had some music sent to me this week too. And it was like, they're really excited. It's a band that was creating the music and then they were uploading their demo into Suno. And then Suno, of course, was pushing it back to them. And they're like, oh, this is incredible. Like, this is what our music could sound like. And I'm like, yeah, but Suno, there's some problems there with Suno. I would look at their terms of service and their privacy policy. And, you know, I don't think that you're going to be able to keep that music now. I mean, like, other people can now use the music that you've uploaded, which is kind of scary. I said, but what I would do is I would, if you have to, put your demo into Suno, listen to it, and then use it as a guide to how you should be sounding live. I said, because their music was, it was fantastic. Don't get me wrong. It was absolutely fantastic. But I was like, it sounded like the voice is kind of Nickelbacky slash, you know, like I could really pick out the different big bands that were coming through in this produced music. And I was like, holy cow, literally one sound exactly like Nickelback. Like, does Nickelback know that, you know, this, that they're pumping out music that sounds just like Nickelback? But I think I'm anti-AI music.
Last week I was talking with my program director, Bob Buckman, and we got into the discussion of classic rock. And he gave me the whole story about, you know, Fred Jacobs, you know, coined the term and, you know, pushed it out and it became what it is today. And Bob, he kind of surprised me. He said, you know, Fred and I have argued over this definition of classic rock. He goes, to me, classic rock is anything that sounds nice next to Led Zeppelin. Now, people have pushed back at me saying, well, I hate Led Zeppelin. I don't think that's what Bob's really saying. I've really thought about it. If you think about it, what we're talking about is classic rock is not a time period, according to Bob, it's a style. And it's really a style of rock that for those of us that are old enough, before you had Pro Tools or GarageBand and all these awesome digital tools, what you could afford to go play in your garage and make rock music, that was a sound. And I think that's what we're talking about. It's the stuff that you can just do organically with some people in a garage and boom, build a sound before we put all this sheen on it. But I thought that was an incredible definition. To him, classic rock is anything that sounds good next to Led Zeppelin.
That's great. That's tough to get next to Led Zeppelin anyway, but yeah, that's a great definition.
So that means, and he says, so in my definition, the Foo Fighters are, and it's just, as you think about classic Coke, it's a recipe. So classic rock is just a recipe for rock. It's a sound, not so much a time period. So yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's deep, you know, when you think about it, it's really, really, really good.
We get deeper.
We do get deep.
Like the snowdrift outside. But I wanted to play another dual solo you did with another famous musician. And then it's going to lead me to a question about in a similar topic. So here's a clip of a performance you did with the great Lita Ford.
Lovely.
What's amazing about that, Bill, is let me come back.
So many things amazing about that.
Right. But it's how that's Lita's song. You did that flawlessly. Were you familiar with the song?
I always love that song. That's my favorite Lita Ford song. She's got so many too, but I love that song. And then it was before that show in Colorado. She emailed me or texted me or something. We had the same booking agent and got in touch with me. And she said, hey, you know, we got this song called Back to the Cave. I'm like, oh, I love that song. It's my favorite Lita Ford song. She goes, well, if you want to come up and jam on it, I'd love to. So I don't think we got to do a sound check that day. That was a interesting day. But I have since done that song with her again, and I just love it.
And should I point out
sound check that was And that band makes you sound good because they got Bobby Rack on drums. That was Marty O'Brien on bass back now. Now they have Martin Anderson, who's phenomenal. They're both phenomenal bass players. And she's got Patrick Kennison, who's a phenomenal guitar player. And she's a phenomenal guitar player and an amazing singer and a great songwriter. And to just get up there, you know, it's, you know, I was pinching.
And that was
myself.
The guitar you were playing right behind you, wasn't it?
Yeah, that would have been that one. Yeah, that's... That guitar's name is Hallie.
I wanted to be Lita Ford when I was a kid so bad. Like that was the pinnacle right there. I want to be Lita Ford.
You play guitar?
No, unfortunately I didn't play. I play piano. I didn't play guitar. But she was so beautiful and so rocker girl. And
you know, it's cool. With AI, you can now play guitar.
I love her music. That's true. That's absolutely true. I could probably look just like her too.
You could do. You can just morph yourself into that. But I love Lita Ford's music too. I mean, The Runaways, even back then when she was in The Runaways, she was amazing. But
Bill,
we
need an introduction. We need to get Lita Ford on our show.
Yes.
I'll see if I can pull some strings. I'll talk to her.
I would love that, Lita.
I do too. She's great. She's really, really smart and really funny and just so super cool. And she's so good. You go out and you see her show and it's just, it's amazing. I mean, she is a superstar and a queen. She's the queen of metal. And it's a real honor to get to play shows with them.
Which is interesting because she came up in the punk of the Runaways, right?
Yeah, she's a shredder, man.
She's a shredder. Yeah.
Really good.
Which leads me to her.
She's got really unique vibrato. If you listen to her records, you can hear it's her. And that's something I've been searching for and I'll probably never get is to just have that sound where you go, hey, that sounds like Lita when you hear it. She's got her own sound.
Hey, quick, Don, I know you had a question, but in scenarios like that, where you say there's no sound check, you just grab the guitar, walk out on stage. Is there ever any little bit of anxiety of, boy, I'm putting all my faith in some guy that's going to make me sound good behind the board, or you just pass that? You just trust everyone.
I'm always so nervous before I go on. And if I haven't had a sound check, I'm even more nervous. So I'm about ball of nerves. I can't relax. I've had a real hard time trying to learn how. If anybody has any secrets on how to relax, let me know. But before a show, I'm always, I worry, because we care so much. But I don't want to be out of tune, and I don't want to get up there and not hear what I need to hear. And but fortunately, we got a good crew, and we're working with some good people out there on the road. When we go to these venues, they're pros usually. And but we've had our moments, where things, train wrecked.
When we had Rudy Sarzo on, he was talking That's about right. when he played the 84, 84 US
83, Fest, 83, US, yeah.
83. And the tuner, remember they had a special tuner and the guy messed with it and he was all.
It was those analog tuners where you had the knob and you had to dial it in. And they screwed his tuner up.
Yeah, they had a weird tuning too. Didn't they go down like a quarter step?
They were,
like
but
that?
They had his tuner set wrong. So he was completely out of tune. And he says if you listen closely to the recording, you can tell.
Oh, that's just, you just vibe is blown from the start and you just never get it back. I've had those nights, man. It's tough.
What's one of the worst technical experiences you had during a live show where you were like,
well, we were playing New Year's Eve in 1991 or 90. No, I guess it would have been 1990.
What's the debut album?
At a pretty big amphitheater. Small. It was a small amphitheater, maybe a few, couple, 3,000 people amphitheater. Place was packed. Guns N' Roses down at the big stadium sold out. So we were happy to have an audience that night. But my guitar tech at the time, the intro was rolling. I'd given him my guitar. This is when I had a guitar tech. Right now I'm the guitar tech. But back in the good old days, this guy, the intro was rolling and I go to get the guitar. And he looked at me and his eyes were like, I like that. And I was like, what's going on? He goes, it's not in tune. And I'm like, oh no. And I couldn't stop the intro. So we went out there and we played, I think we opened up with All She Wrote. Cause I remember when it breaks down to that, it was just so bad. And, I'm like looking at our drummer going, hey, let's cut this at the end of this. And it took me another probably 3-4 minutes, which is an eternity when the audience is out there waiting for you to start the next song, to tune my guitar. And this is what I paid the guy to do, and he didn't last with us very long, but that was what we called the Miami tuning.
Did y'all play to a click?
No.
So you're saved from that. I have had that experience where we did a show with a bunch of bands and it kept getting louder and louder. So we all ended up getting ear fatigue. Everybody, we lost the click. The drummer lost the click, I lost the click. And do you want to talk about a train wreck? You want to stop the song, but you don't. You just keep fighting your way through it. You keep fighting, trying to get back up. Train wreck.
There's anything that we need, it's connection, especially in the world that we live in today, which is exactly the reason why we created these cards, the Song Story Game. We sit and we talk to artists all the time about the stories behind the songs, the story behind the songs that they loved when they were growing up. And so we put together a game that you can own now and put it on your coffee table. And there's a few different ways you can play it. You can play it just as a conversation starter. You can play it with couples and besties for points, or you can play it in a team setting. Three different ways you can have a lot of fun talking about music. One of my favorite ways to play it is to actually answer the question, give a little detail, and then play the song. This game could go on for hours. It's entirely up to you. But get yours today at pressplay.me.
Yeah, it's a blessing and a curse, that click track. I guess it would kind of keep the tempos from getting too excited or too tired if you haven't had any sleep. But I guess if you got some tracks going in, then everything's coming in at the wrong time. But yeah, fortunately, Michael Foster, he's our click track, and he's right on every time. And if he's tired, we're also tired. So we're just following right with him because we've all gotten no sleep, you know, together, or either we're all hyped together. So, I mean, but he's really consistent with his tempo. So we're lucky awesome. To have him.
You still use monitors, right? You don't use in-ears, do you?
I don't have in-ears. I use wedges and side fills. Same with Alan, our bass player. Nate, our lead singer, has one ear in usually. I don't think he normally does two. And Michael's gone back to having two ears so he can turn down his drum monitor, which we also call the second PA back there, because he would crank that thing up really loud and then put in earplugs. And we're going, man, that's those drums are kicking. He go, what? So he's using in-ears now, and it's, you know. It's
all those years of playing to wedges where the sound's just blasting back at you, right? You, while you're playing, you really can't hear the crowd at all, can you, with the wedges?
Only thing I have in my wedges is my voice, and I don't sing real loud, so that's the only thing that's in the wedges, and not very loud over where I am.
From behind you, then? All the amps behind you? Is that the sound that's coming?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Side. I got these side fills left and right stage kind of blasting in from the sides. That's what I mainly hear up there these days.
Well, I wanted to ask you, because I played Lita, but do you have any dream guitarists that you'd love to play with that you haven't played with yet?
Wow. I'm sure I do. but we've lost so many of them lately. And I'm just, but Steve Morse, I think, would be the one I would want to play with. He's my favorite overall guitar player. If there was any guitar player out there that I could play like, it would be Steve Morse, because he's just great at everything. Let's go with Steve Morse.
Yeah. Steve Morse. M-O-R-S-E, right?
Yeah.
Why does that name sound familiar?
So the Dixie Dregs was where I first.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I just pulled them up here.
And I saw him live. I snuck into a bar and saw him, and I was just like, oh man. I don't know whether to go back and just quit or go back and practice. And I chose practice, but, and I'm glad I did, but it was so good. It was right in the Night of the Living Dregs tour. And they had a show at a bigger venue, and something happened to that venue. They played in this bar, and I snuck in and with this buddy of mine, and we saw them, and they were the best band I've ever seen. Best musical, blow you away band I've ever seen.
Well, this is going to lead me to covers. You did a cover of Another Thing Coming back in the
day. Yeah.
Okay.
Not many people know about that one.
Well, here, I've got it. I should have it right here. Hold on a minute. Did it come up? Let's see if it does anything. I'll hit the live button, Don. Do that.
Love that song.
Like, do you have another instrumental that you heard that,
I'm gonna save that
does
for
that
you.
To you? Check this. That's not yours.
Well, I can tell you, just what you were just saying reminded me of the Journey song called Who's Crying Now.
So what I did was I used the Baby AI and I took our interview clip and I made that for to see what you thought.
It's exactly what I looked like when I was that age, except my mom wouldn't let me grow my hair out that
long. Well, it gets better. So I have this, and because we're talking about your favorite, one of the beautiful solos, and you're talking about Neil Schon, right? So watch
now. And when it gets to the solo at the end where Neil Schon does that melody, it's not a complicated melody, but the way he plays it and the emotion he puts in it and the tone, it's just, you talk about, if you let it, it'll bring tears to your eyes. So I can relate to that.
So there's my fun with AI.
That's awesome.
I was having fun with it, but that's not what I wanted to play. I hit the wrong button.
Well, that's okay. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Oh Yeah is right. That was awesome.
Yeah.
KK Downing, right? Now, have you ever heard a cover of one of your songs that you thought was really good? I have one that I found that was really good, I thought.
Oh, I'd love to hear it. I've heard a couple. I can't remember.
So I'm going to play this one here. It's a band called Iron Cross. And I think it's a female singer. And the way they tuned it, they made it their own in a way. Well,
I never thought you heard me. I guess you live and learn. The way you play with fire, you're bound to get burned. Well, I've been mistreated. I've been used before. I get kicked in the face till I come back for more. But I won't cry no more, cause the tears are all in vain. We can pick up the pieces, start it all again. Let's just get back to the way it was before. Oh God, I can't take anymore. Baby, don't treat me bad. This could be the best thing that you'll ever hear. Baby, don't treat me bad. You can do anything, but baby, don't treat me bad. Whoa, don't treat me bad. I gave anything, but you threw it all away. I can't take any more of this game that's...
What do you think?
Musically great. Her voice was horrible.
Oh, you didn't like it? I was actually impressed with her voice. I thought she really had a tone that was a little angst in it. And then and she also had a great way of bending those notes and doing that. And they tuned it up a little bit. So,
you're so much nicer than me, Bill.
Hey, I just want to call out, because I've told you this a number of times, Bill. The cover that you did with Flood the Engine, Love is Alive.
Oh, man.
That's an incredible cover.
Gary Wright song? The Gary Wright song?
Have you heard it?
Yeah.
Pull it up. No. Flood the Engine, Love is Alive. And the reason I love it is you honored the original, but you also give it your own vibe. And it's got a hell of a vibe.
Well, I appreciate it, man. When we put that song together, that was Keith Horn's idea. Keith Horn is a bass player who's played with so many artists. He's a phenomenal bass player. He said, "Yeah, we should do Love is Alive." And I'm like, "Oh, that'd be really cool." And I didn't really appreciate how cool of an idea it was until I learned the song. And then we recorded it, and what a cool...
See, that's how I was. When I saw it there, I was like, okay, I wouldn't have picked that one. But then I listened to it, and I was like, oh my God, this is incredible.
Yeah, he had a great vision on picking that song. I mean, that was really, really cool. It turned out
You got it done?
It's a side project that Keith Horn put together called Flood the Engine. And Keith played with everybody. He played with Hart. He played with Peter Frampton. And then we got Andre LaBelle playing drums and a guy named Jimmy Coon singing, who's a great singer who grew up in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. Great singer. Right. And he's in Cactus now, if they're still doing it. But he's just a great singer.
Lava was an experience. Just
nothing
now.
Against Gary Wright. It's a great song, but every time I hear it, it's like, yeah, that's what that song needed. Whoa. That's what it needed.
Ah, thanks.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
That was incredible. You're right. Tina, any thoughts?
Love it.
it's got the groove. You got a groove, but you got the edge on it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was incredible. Now, there two more things. I don't know how much time you got left, Bill, but.
Oh, I got all night, man. I'm snowed in. I'm ice pin.
Perfect. Well, you have a song. There's two songs on the Divided We Will Fall, which has a whole nother meaning right now. But there's two songs on there that are incredible. One of them is Ace Bandage. And what I love about Ace Bandage is the metaphors lyrically within the song. And some of them are like downright spicy when you think about it. Some of them are really good. But the music in it is outstanding.
Thanks, man.
Solo.
It's the tip of the hat to Billy Gibbons, one of my favorite guitar players. And, you know, I was in the shower and I came up with that hook. I'm an Ace Bandage, wrap me around your heart. And I just thought, you know, and I asked the wife and the daughter, what do you guys think of that? And they thought, yeah, that's good. So if it passed their test, then it's worth coming down here and spending, you know, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, whatever it takes to finish it. And, you know, I'm glad we did, because it was fun. My wife directed the video. My daughter helped with some dolly work on that one too. And she was probably 14 or something at the time, but my wife directed it and edited it and everything. So she shot it.
I thought you wrote it because you're waiting for your prescriptions at CVS. Cause it just, it's what it seemed like. Like you were like, you saw the Ace Bandage section and you're like, I got a whole song in my head now. That's what it felt like.
And that's how songwriting evolves as you get older. You go from writing about falling in love, sex, partying, to standing in line at the CVS. That's right.
No. But listen to the metaphor. I mean, there's a couple metaphors in here. And I was listening to it and went, oh, that is brilliant. Like, I'll point it out. I got it here. Let me play this. It should play.
Dude, on your ankles. That was,
you were channeling some Billy Gibbons there.
Yeah,
he's, you were. Damn. You know, it doesn't get any better.
That was awesome.
We all wish we could be half as cool as Billy. But yeah, so
freaking solo too. Dude, holy smokes.
What'd you use amp sound in there?
That recording was also Keith Horn on the bass, Andre LaBelle on the drums. They were the rhythm section of that Flood the Engine record we did also. They're magnificent.
So were you like miking an amp or using a Kemper?
Axe FX 2, I think back then is what I had. And I'm not sure what amp model it would have been. Probably a Marshall amp model, but I'm pretty darn sure it was, let me try to remember, Flood the Engine. It was, I have a Splawn amp that I used. After that, I started going with the Fractal stuff, and I never turned back. So the Fractal.
You had told us about a song, and I want to pull up my notes here. You had told us about a song that was done, you wrote it for at Christmas time. All of a sudden, and it was called Christmas With You, right?
Yes. Christmas With You.
Christmas With You. But the story goes that it was written, didn't the label come to you and they're putting up a compilation together?
Yeah, they were going to release a Christmas album with Sony artists. So it was going to be us, you know, Luther Vandross, I know was a name that they put on there. So whoever the big pop and rock artists on Sony were, Columbia and Epic. And they said, hey, write a Christmas song. And we wrote that one, and our A&R guy loved it. And he sent it up the flagpole to the bosses. And, you know, we were excited about it. But then they pulled the plug on the project, supposedly because the Michael Jackson album, which was called History, needed some extra promotional work and some extra money or whatever. So they pulled the plug on the project. And I don't know what the reason why they pulled the plug on the project, but we were bummed because we wanted to be on that compilation with everybody.
Well, what I want to do is I want to play some of the song for us and then talk about if there's anything familiar without Bill saying it. I hear it and so I'm gonna play a little bit of this here. This is Christmas With You by Firehouse that never got where it needed to go, as Bill just said, but I'm gonna play a little bit of it and see what you people think.
Don't you be alone. I'm not asking for that much. I just wish that you come home.
Wait a minute. All I want for Christmas is with you. Huh.
All I want is Christmas with you.
With you. But then there was all I want for Christmas is you.
I heard about it. I heard about that.
Some lady named Mariah recorded it. But it is kind of interesting. What's that, Tina?
Right after, I think.
Right after. Yeah. Came out after, right, Bill?
I believe that was the timeline that I'm most familiar with. Yeah.
Go figure.
We should be hearing that every year. I would never turn off the Firehouse version.
I wish, you know, I wrote that one in a hotel room and presented it. And, you know, it didn't make it on that album. But, you know, it's still a Firehouse song that gets a little bit of airplay, but not as much as Mariah's.
We need to change that next year. Well, on Press Play Radio, nothing but the Firehouse version. we're gonna amp that thing up next year.
Let's do it.
Thanks.
Yeah, yes. Man. Yeah. All right, but anyway, we will wrap it up here, Dee and Bill, and thank you again for coming back. Having a great music conversation, and we'll definitely do it again with you if you want to. Because
we love to. It's always great talking to you guys. Thank you so much for
you're the best, man.
Great to be on the show.